Family, our scripture of comfort is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And it reads, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is still good and still in control. And one thing that we can agree with is this. In moments like this, Sister Bowen, one of the tools God has given us is prayer. Prayer will bring you in a special connection with heaven, and heaven will do the rest if you use your faith. So that's all we want to do right now. We want to pray with the family of comfort so God can do his part. But before God does his part, we have to do ours. What do you say? So come on and bow with me. As a matter of fact, I know this is off script. Let's do something even more special to let Sister Bowen know that we are connecting with her. Why don't everybody get up and go to Sister Bowen and her family and her sister right now? As a matter of fact, I do want to come down, but I believe the camera is still on me, right? So I can go? Amen. Come on, everybody come near, please. Those who can. Amen. Thank you for pressing your way through. Come on, every head is bowed. Spirit of the living God, we find this a privilege right now for a time such as this, because we can connect with you, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer, Jesus Christ. We appreciate the amazing grace that you have given and what you will give to Sister Bowen and her family. We thank you in advance for the mercy and the strength and the courage and the bravery that you will give her and her family. We right now activate our faith in you, believing that you're going to hear this prayer. And not only believe that you're going to hear it, but you're going to fulfill it, because you love us. Because she is your child and she knows that you have her best interest at heart. And God, for that we say thank you. Now, Lord, you know that the Bowen family gonna need heavenly strength. They gonna need the divine strength of Jesus. We ask that you give her this day her daily bread, that she can see that you and us together is lifting her up in love, that her eyes can see that the glory of the Lord is ever before her, that this loss is also heaven's gain, and also at the same time that love is going to supersede all things. So we put our failures, we put our fear, we put our doubts onto your altar now. that you will gather and take them up and destroy them and break them where there be no more. And that she will understand the blessed and the revelation of Jesus as you continue to speak with her. So now, God, we as a church family, we take an oath to give you, God, our word and give her our word that we will check in on her. Because the aftermath is the thing that she's going to need the most. So, God, we ask you to help us, help her hold herself up in these times. Now, Jesus, that you have heard this request, we ask that you continue to provide the strength, the energy, the love, the sustaining power that heaven has for her life. And we're going to continue to give you the honor, praise, and glory which you deserve. This is our request in Jesus' name. Family, say with me, amen. Amen. And amen.
on y'all. Now listen, we didn't come here to be at a pity party. We came to give God some praise. We came to let the Lord know that we are here and he's going to get all of the glory. We don't know what you came to do, but we came to give God some praise in his house today. You brought him back out the door because David was not going to sit around. From the desk of Pastor Jonathan B. Fields, Jr., October 20th, 2024, Office of the Pastor, to the family of Mr. Clifton David Bowen. It is with deep, heartfelt sympathy that the Tabernacle of Praise, Seventh-day Adventist Church, extend our love and condolences to you on the passing of your loved one, Mr. Clifton David Bowen. Be assured that we're here for you to lend support and assistance as you may need. We know that this is a difficult and trying time for you and the family. But during your grief and sorrow over the death of your loved one, be comforted in knowing that you are not alone. We now encourage you to trust God when you can't trace him. Believe him when believing is unbearable. And hold on, even if you have little faith, or excuse me, even if you have to holler. Our hands are accessible for the lifting. Our ears are approachable for the listening. And our hearts are available for loving on you during this time of grief. When you cry, we all cry. When you smile, we all smile. We hope it helped you. We hope that it helps you. We hope that it helped you to remember that as Christians, death is not the end. Death, we have so much still to look forward to. Even though this life may be short, a blissful eternity with Brother Bowen still awaits you. We all must wait just a little bit longer. May this Bible verse straight from the mouth of God bring you peace and comfort today and in the days to come. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. Our continued prayers for you and your family, with love in Christ, Pastor Jonathan B. Fields, Jr., First Lady Melody L. Fields, and the Tabernacle of Praise SDA Church family.
Amen. We'll make sure that you receive this letter of condolence. At this time, we want to extend the opportunity for any remarks from any family or friends. We are asking that you keep them, you know, within the minimum time frame. Amen. We ask if you have a word that you want to say or share, that you use this mic to my left, to your right. The mic is now open for anyone that have any words of encouragement they want to share with the family.
Well, Pastor,
go ahead, and you can come up, sir.
I just want to say that David was family. First, we were over at the Ebenezer Church with David. And I just take it upon myself to say that I was David's favorite church member. You know, I mean, let's just let the truth be told.
Sister Bowen, as I always call her, old lady, but good-looking old lady. She say, you know I ain't old, okay? But she made David mad one day. And they came to church, and David got Sister Bowen, then got David all twisted. So when David would come to church, we had a little ritual that we do. We do a little hand pat thing, you know, and we kind of play it out. And this particular day, Sister Bowen made David mad. Well, she didn't tell me. I went on over there, flopping on over there with David. I put my hand on out for our little thing. David took that water, and he pushed it up against me and said, get on away from me. I don't want to be bothered with nobody today. Sister Bowen loves to tell that story. I don't know why she likes to tell that one, but that's one she tells. Sister Bowen, so we want you to know that we love you. You know that we love David. And if it's anything that we can do, we just a holler away. So just give us a call. You know we come running, come and look at these girls back here. Know they love David. They went with him when he was over here closer this way. And they called me and told me they had a good time. Is that right, Brittany? They had a good time looking in David's face. And David's looking at them. So we just want you to know we love you. And we are here for you.
Good afternoon. My name is Trayvon Walker. I've worked alongside James Bowens for a few years at WashU, and now I'm able to be his supervisor currently. I'm just letting you know, brother, that I'm here for you, as your friend, as your WashU family. Take the time, my man. I've lost my brother, my mother, and I know this time can be difficult. Stay strong. You've been dedicated to your job, man. And I'm here to say, hey, I don't want to see you at work tomorrow. I don't want to see you at work. If you don't have to come this week, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. We got your back. You always have ours. I love you. And take care.
Amen. Sister Karen.
Beverly, I want you to know I dispute that you were David's favorite. Because I think I was David's favorite. And every time that I would see David, I would make sure that I would speak to David and do that little thing with David with the hands, because he liked to do that. And I remember when Sister Bowen was sick and she had her heart surgery. And so I was over her house pretty much a lot during that period of time. And I remember that David's caretaker wasn't able to come because of the weather or whatever. And I was taking care of Sister Bowen. But I told Andre, he had dropped me off or what exactly. But I told Andre when he came, I called him on his cell phone and I said, you need to come because David needs to be taken care of. So I'm going to let him tell you the story.
So while we were there, she says, okay, it's your turn. I said, huh? She said, it's your turn. I said, to do what? She said, David needs a bath. I said, okay. I said, baby, we didn't come. I'm just being honest. I said, I've never done that. I've never been down this road before. So she said, well, you know, it's been snowing, and so they just haven't been taken care of because the nurse hasn't been able to come. I said, I get all of that. I understand. It was very humbling, I have to say, because we had a long discussion, and then I started feeling bad about my responses because I was like, what is the problem with me? Because I just had never been in that position before. And so she said, baby, he got to get a bath. And there's no one else here. I already took care of Sister Bowen, so it's your turn. I said, okay. And I had to ask myself, if I was in that position, would I want somebody to take care of me and bathe me? I said, baby, I don't even know. You know, you're coming up with all these excuses, right? I don't even know if he want me to do it. So I said, David, come on. We're going to go take a bath. And he looked at me, and he just followed me. There was no resistance at all. So I said, well, it's on me, Pastor, now. I can't make no excuses. It's on me. So me and David went in the bathroom. I said, I need some clean clothes and stuff. And so, I'll spare you the details. But, you know, we just we took care of business. And when I finished, it made me a new man. I'm going to have to tell you that. It made me look at life a lot differently. And if I had it to do it all over again, I would do it again. But I just, you know, sometimes you never get in those positions. You don't know what you would do if you were in that position. Well, I was faced with it and I wasn't prepared for it. So it took me a minute. I have to say, it took me a minute to get there. But yeah, I can truly say I was humbled and I am glad that I did it, Sister Bowen. I really am. Now, Sister Bowen would look at me and my mother and tell my mother that this is my child. This is my son. My mother looked at me. And so we just laughed. We all had a good old laugh. But every time she would see me, hi, son. And so, Sister Bowen, I was so glad to see you when my mother was in the hospital earlier this year. And I was talking to one of the nurses about feeding my mother. And Sister Bowen walked up. And I said, Sister Bowen? She said, Andre? She said, what you doing here? I said, I'm here with my mother. Your mother? Where is she? I said, in this room. Can I go see her? I said, sure. So she walked in and had a nice long talk. My mother sat straight up and lit up like a Christmas tree. So, Sister Bowen, I appreciate your relationship with us, because when we needed and my mother needed to see a friendly face, you were right there. Amen. I really appreciate that. I love you.
Amen. Elder Harris.
Mother Bowen, had to call her Mama Bowen. You know, I had the privilege of picking up Sister Bowen and David for 10 years, bringing them to church. Yeah, I live out here. You know where Sister Bowen lives. But we had the nicest conversations and things. And, you know, you get to doing things on a routine, Tony. Get to doing things on a routine basis. And I remember one day it was snowing, and Sister Bowen's faithful. She said, you coming to get me, baby? I said, if you going, I'm coming to get you. And David, the first time, you know, it's snowing, I'm holding his hand, you know. We walking up the drive. And so week after week, I would get out. And as soon as I opened up the back door, David put his hand out, like, grab my hand. And we would walk on into the house, and yeah, our custom was, Mama Bowen would say, Tony, come on in here. Come on, get in this prayer circle. And we get in the prayer circle, and we would pray every Sabbath. Isn't that right, Tony? Yes, every Sabbath. And it was just a beautiful thing. I would be driving, and I look in the rearview mirror, and I see Tony looking, and he would have that smile. I mean, David would have that smile. And now I could tell when David wasn't in a good mood. he couldn't talk, but he would communicate. And he would let you know. But my hat is off to Mother Bowen, because it takes a special type of love to be able to care for David and love him the way that you did. And she can handle them too, Bill. She had that switch or that belt out. She would handle them and he would listen. But Mother Bowen, we just love you. And you know, my mother and you all had those special prayers every day. Sister Bowen said, I miss Mom. I miss those prayers. I miss her too. But when we all get to heaven, yes, what a day of rejoicing it's going to be.
One day David walked up to you and held your hand. You didn't know he meant let's go. You thought he had to go to the bathroom. Uh-uh. He wanted to go home.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Repeat what she said, Elder. They didn't hear in the back.
Oh, she said, I forgot. She said one time David came up and grabbed my hand. I thought he was saying take him to the bathroom. He said, no, I'm ready to go home.
Amen. Sister?
I just wanted to let you all know, Beverly and Karen, I was David's favorite. Yeah. When David would see me, I'm sorry, he would light up. We went to see him in the at the nursing home, and he still had that glow in his eye and smile on his face when he saw me. And he would squeeze your hand. David was strong. But yeah, Sister Bowen, I don't know how you did it for 63 years. I mean, that's a testament. And she still looked good. We came and got her one day, and she came out with her boots on and her jeans. I was like, all right now. Looking good. I just want to say I love you, and whatever I can do for you, I'm here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, my story about David. David was something else. Sister Bowen needed to go to the bank. So David sat in the back seat. I stopped at Quick Trip on my way to pick her up. I got a big drink, one like the, 64-ounce drink. Soon as Sister Bowen's last foot stepped into the bank, the door, David reached up and grabbed my cup. He's looking at me. I'm like, David. He sat back. I said, I'm telling on you, David. He went, kept right on drinking. Sister Bowen came out. David set my cup down like he hadn't touched it. I'm telling on you. So I get Sister Bowen in the car and I said, I'm telling on you. David looked at his mama as to say, she ain't telling the truth. I said, Sister Bowen, David took my cup and he drank my drink. She said, David, you know better than that. David turned his head like he wasn't trying to hear that. I tell you what, I miss David. Lynette and I did go see him. And I can attest, I think Lynette is his favorite. Because David didn't pay any attention to me. Yes. He didn't pay any attention to me like I wasn't in the room. I said, hello, David. He turned and looked right back at Lynette and kept grinning. Excuse you, sir. You got nerve. He will be missed. We are here for you. We love you. And I think Sister Bowen loves me most.
Give it to Sister Bowen. Elder McCray.
I believe that a mother's love is unmatched. How you demonstrated love to your son gave me an example how, even though I'm a man, I'm not a mother, but gave me an example what loves look like, how a parent should operate with their child. And even though that and even though that it comes to an end as we see now, and we know that we found and discovered earlier that God gave us a good tool to use to get us through these tough times, which is prayer. But there's something else that we have available that we should take advantage of, and that's time. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. The Bible says that there's a time to mourn, but there's also a time to laugh. The Bible says there's a time to sit down, which I'm going to do in a minute, and there's also a time, what I'm going to do in a minute as well, to be silent. But there's also a time to dance, and there's a time to rejoice. There's a time to be thankful, and there's a time to be grateful. And but one thing I learned about God in all the scriptures, when it talk about time, there's no place in the scripture where God tells us there's a time to waste. So family, now I ask you to do this with the rest of your time. Continue to love one another as God asks you to do. Continue to love one another as God asks you to do. Continue to love one another as God asks you to do. And watch what God do with you for the rest of your time.
Amen. I was about to just go on and sit on down and slide this desk in front of him and let it go. Thank you so much. That's my elder. You know, I'm like that parent. When your child do something good, you say, that's my child. And when your child do something bad, that's his child. That's my elder. Thank you so much, Elder. Anyone else? Anyone else before we move? Come on up. Come on up. Is there anyone else? Yes, yes, yes.
How you all doing? My name is Tisha Williams, and I am Ms. Bowens and Davis' caregiver. I just want she know how much I love her, and David know how much I love him. And I just want to just say to you, Ms. Bowens, I call her my baby. I love you so much, and I thank you for being here for me. And she done did a lot for me. And I want you all to know that I'm her favorite now. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. I love you, baby. That's all I want to say. And I Amen. Love you, David.
Amen. Is it Sister Tisha? Tisha. I was going to leave it alone, but you pushed me. I'm the favorite pastor, so... So we just go, I was going to leave it alone, but you did it. Amen. Again, it's always good to celebrate the life and the memory of our loved one. One of the things that my family did when my dad passed back in 2017, After the funeral and the repast, we all met over to my sister's house, and for some bright idea, I don't know, I just wanted to kind of change the atmosphere. So I, you know, had all of us come into the dining room or the little sitting room in my sister's house. And I just asked the question, what were you doing when you got the call that dad or your grand or granddad or, you know, when he passed? And it was just amazing to hear the different stories from my sister and from my niece and from my nephew of what they were actually doing when they got the call. And it just brought closure to the whole idea that dad is no longer with us. And so I want to encourage you, family, to don't put David to rest in your minds or in your conversation, but still talk about the memories, still hold those moments dear. Church family, continue to talk about those good memories, because one day we will, and I believe that, Sister Bowen, that we will see David again when Jesus cracks the sky and call him by his name. And one day David will be raised. And it is my prayer that as we believe that when Jesus come, that David will be raised, that when Jesus come, that we will too be ready to receive him with open arms. That's the beauty. That's our hope. Can you imagine a life and this was it? And that there was nothing after this, with all of the stuff that we have to deal with here? You mean this is it? Oh, no. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I'm going to invite the praise team or the choir back up after they have given us their selection. I'll come back and share a word of encouragement to the family.
The song says that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. The song wraps up saying, I made it over. Hallelujah. I made it over. Thank you, Jesus. I made it over. Lord, I love you. I made it over. He that overcometh.
Hallelujah. change in a twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, and those who are alive and remain are going to meet him in the sky. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, and those who
made it over. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I don't plan on being before you long, but I believe that there is a word from the Lord to encourage our hearts during this season in our lives. I'll just read in your hearing from the book of John, John chapter 19. For those that want to follow along, amen. Amen. John chapter 19, beginning with verse 25. I'll read just three verses. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Behold your mother. Father, thank you so much for another day of life. As we gather here during this time, our hearts are heavy, but we're just so thankful that we know a God that is able to heal all pain. So as we spend just these few moments together, we're asking that you will speak to us and through us, and let us not leave this preached hour the same way we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. One of the things that I've come to learn about funerals, and that is, it's never for the deceased. It's never for the deceased, but it's always for those who are alive. Our text here points out that Jesus, during the last hours of his life, on the cross, after going through a horrific trial, a brutal beating, innocent of all charges, but yet treated as if he was guilty of every man's charge. I'm talking about your charge and my charge. But yet we find Jesus on the cross during these last hours of his life. And he looks out in the crowd of people that just said, "Crucify him." This same crowd that screamed, "Give us Barabbas." And in the midst of all of that, he was able to pinpoint his mother. The text says that he looked out, he saw his mother, he saw his mother's sister, he saw Mary, of the wife of Cleophas, and he saw Mary Magdalene. And not only that, but the text tells us that he also saw his disciple. And it's beautiful because as Jesus was dying on the cross, he thought enough of his mother and of his disciple to not leave them by themselves. What am I saying? I'm saying that God is so intentional about what he does and how he moves that he will never leave you by yourself. Sister Bowen, if I can just encourage you with those words right there to let you know that you are not alone. That God have you, my brother, that God sees your pain, that he understands your hurt. Jesus looked out, he saw his mother standing there, and these words is what he says. He says, "Woman, behold your son." Now, why would Jesus look at his mother and say, "Behold your son"? Why would Jesus now just give her this responsibility of raising another son? Well, I've come to understand that Jesus understands us better than we understand ourselves. I've come to realize, family of God, that when God moves, he moves for a reason. You see, God knew that this was going to be a difficult task for his mother to bear, and he did not want to leave her to deal with it all by herself. She longed to have a son. Remember, Mary was very young when she had Jesus. Mary, the Bible says that she was conceived. That Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
And so this wasn't just an ordinary child that Mary was looking at on the cross. This wasn't just some child that she met, like his father, that they met and, you know, hanging out one day, Sister Bev, or went to go visit a family member out of town and was just introduced to this wonderful man named Joseph. No. This child that Mary was looking at on the cross was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. So this wasn't an ordinary child. So that means that they did not have an ordinary relationship. That means that there was something special between Mary and Jesus. That their relationship was not like anybody else's relationship. And so Jesus saw his mother. He said, listen, I don't want you to be alone. I don't want you to feel like all hope is gone. I don't want you to feel like you lost a son. No. Woman, behold your son. And then he turns to his disciple and he says to his disciples, behold your mother. You know, I thank God that he doesn't leave us without hope. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that don't just leave us to fend for our own selves. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your spiritual life is like. I don't know what your relationship is like with God. But one thing I do know about God is that it doesn't matter where your relationship with him is, he still loves you. No matter if you are faithful with your tithe or committed to your craft or if you're in church every Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it doesn't matter. God has said, I'm doing this for you. I'm laying my life down for you. You know, God is a very intentional God, as I said earlier. And when I look back over the life of those individuals who have found themselves in these seats right here, and as a pastor, and I stand here, and I'm always trying to find these words of encouragement and try to say something that's going to ease the pain. And do you not know that there is no words that a pastor could say that's going to ease the pain? Just this year, I shared with you about my dad passing in 2017. And just this year, around Father's Day, I'm sitting in a car in a parking lot, and I'm waiting on my wife and my daughter to come out of the building, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it hit me that I have no one, I don't have a dad to wish Happy Father's Day to. And a sadness fell upon me. A hurt began to move through my heart. I'm like, wow. All these many years later, what am I saying? I'm saying that this hurt, it will not go away. But God will give you strength every day of your life, Sister Bowen, to be able to deal with it, to be able to make your way through it, to be able to wake up every day and be able to smile because he has given us an opportunity to see David again. That's the beautiful thing about this thing called Christianity. That's where my heart began to get a little bit more joyful now, because I thought about my deceased dad. He had given his life to God. And God promised us that if we give our life to him, if we commit our life to him, if we are baptized into his glory, that we will see our dead loved ones again. And that's my hope. That's my encouragement. Those are my words. Jesus said, I don't want to leave you by yourself, so I'm going to leave you with another son. We're your sons, Sister Bowen. We're your brothers. And I know we just met one time, I believe, when I dropped the groceries off. It was I. And you came out and you were very polite, young man. Never met you. Is there anything else? I said, I think that's it. But I'm your brother. I'm your son. Mama, you said, could you just run me to the store? Well, where you need to go? Don't worry about what I have to do, Pastor. I know you're busy. I know you have a lot going on. Don't worry about that. I got you. What do you need? We can rearrange stuff just so you are taken care of. And that's what we did. I'm your son. You're my mother. You're my brother. We're family. And this is what we do as family. Jesus said, I don't want you ever to feel like you're by yourself. Woman, behold your son. John, disciple, behold your mother. He goes on to say, I'm about to get up here, get out of your way. Jesus goes on and he began to close out his ministry here on earth. And one of the words he says, I thirst. I thirst. Laying on that cross in that scorching sun, drained and mouth dry and been poked and been pushed and been kicked, been spat on, had hair literally pulled out of his face. And he cries out, I thirst. And they proceed to give him a vinegar and gall, but to be able to give him something, and he pushes it away. Because I would like to believe that what he's really thirsty for is his relationship with his daddy. Because now Jesus is approaching those final moments, and the Bible tells us that a dark cloud came over the world and the earth began to shake. He cries out, it is finished. It's finished. It's not over, but it's finished. It's finished for this on earth. It's finished right now. David is finished right now, but there is joy in the morning. There is hope of another day. Oh, yeah, it's finished, but it's not over. And I want to be able to be in that position when he cracks the sky. And while he says it is finished, it's not over, because now I want you to come on up a little bit higher. I want to give you your reward. I want to give you that which you've been longing for. I want you to be reconnected with your loved one. I want you to be able to spend time with him for all eternity. Oh, yes, we miss daddy right now. We miss mama right now. We miss sons and daughters right now. We miss brothers right now. But oh, what a day of rejoicing it will be when we're forever with the Lord and the earth made new. Never again dealing with pain. Never again have to deal with hurt. Never again have to deal with sadness. Never again do I have to deal with loneliness. Never again will I have to worry about my son being in pain. No more do I have to worry about that. No more will I have to wonder in the wee hours of the night, is this it? No more will I have to deal with those thoughts in my mind wondering, is today the day? Oh, I long for that day when I can spend with Jesus for all eternity. Oh, no, this isn't sipping tea right here. This is the real deal, Holyfield. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is when it all is laid out on the line. What are you going to do, family? Like I said in the beginning of this here brief word of encouragement, death is not for the deceased. We've come here to celebrate, but we also come here to make sure that we have our life in order. And it's not my place to tell you where you are. I say it all the time to my members. I don't have a heaven. And I don't have a hell. And too many times we want to hide and cover up from the preacher. Don't cover up from me. Because I ain't covering up for you. I'm laying it all out for Jesus to see so he can get whatever's wrong in me right. So I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to gloss it over. Jesus, you see what I need. Do what you have to do. Make the decision to follow Jesus all the way. Give him your everything, not just in this moment. And while I believe that these moments come to kind of help us get our thoughts in the right gear, but there is life after this. You're going to leave this sanctuary. You're going to go back to your day-to-day. Monday going to come. Tuesday's going to come. Thursday, Wednesdays, all those days are going to come. I know I twist them around, but the week is going to come, and you're going to have to answer for yourself. Because it's very easy to be in this moment right here and feel emotional and feel I need to make a difference. I need to make a change. But the reality is, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to make that change? Because this day is just one day. And we're going to wake up Monday, and this day is going to get further and further and further in our past. And while 5 years later, 6 years later, you're sitting around in the kitchen and then it hits you. I should have done it a long time ago. I should have done it a long time ago. Family of God, David is resting right now. And we believe that God is going to resurrect him. And right before the choir comes back, I just want to commit David right now. I know he's been cremated. Amen. But I believe that even then, God will call those ashes back together. Because we are reminded, for as much as it has pleased Almighty God to take out of this world the soul of our dear beloved brother David, we therefore commit his body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, family, looking for that blessed hope when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, the Bible tells us to comfort one another with these words. We comfort each other with these words. We come here, family of God, to let God be glorified. That's why we're here. So it is my prayer that you make your calling and election sure. Amen.
Amen. As the choir comes, we're going to read the obituary. It'll be on the screen.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Let's sing all together.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we trusting, serving every day, just
Sister Bowen's Amen. Favorite song.
Yeah, when we
she
all
said,
get
I want you all to sing when we all get to heaven. That's what we're looking forward to. That's that great blessed hope. Amen.
Yeah.
So in benediction, Father, we pray, Lord, that you will comfort this family. Wrap your loving arms around them. Let them know, Lord, that you are right there with them. Lord, help us to be faithful to that end so we can meet our loved ones, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you will keep us by your keeping power. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace both now and forevermore. And the church said together, amen. Amen, amen. The church has prepared a fellowship meal down in the lower auditorium. So the deacons will lead you down there. You'll be seated and we'll serve you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be dismissed.